topic of today is one of those which are extremely relevant. And when it comes to basing, many of the argument are also quite emotional on both sides. And when it happens, very often both sides are right or wrong. So, what we have to understand here is what is the root of the issue. We're talking about a situation when a person is hired for some kind of a job. Alternatively, a person is turned to because of his professional expertise, and it happens to be that at the end of the day it doesn't work out. And we have here two different kinds. One kind, when a person was hired to do an active job, a physical job, building, anything of this sort, a physical job. In the case of the Gemara, we're talking about shchit, but for that matter you could talk about any kind of job that involves expertise in doing a physical job. The second case of the Gemara is when you turn to a person and you ask for professional advice. Now, he didn't do anything. The advisor didn't do anything. But the advised person, whoever it might be, is acting upon the advice. And we understand there's a fundamental distinction and difference by not only character of what happened here, but also as far as the halakhic ramifications are concerned. So we have to understand what is the issue at stake. If I claim that somebody damaged me, either by having done an act whereby I'm damaged, or because he gave me advice whereby at the end result I was damaged, what are we dealing with here? At the end of the sugya, what we see here is the more deals with a concept called Gami, and you met it already very often. Gami is roughly translated as consequent damages. It belongs to the sugya of mazik, but it's not a classical mazik. The classical mazik is you take an axe, or you take physical force and damage somebody else. Now, it seems to be that both instances, the first instance where a person performed a physical job, whereby the other party was damaged, and also the second case, when a person took advice and therefore he himself did something wrong to himself by advice of that advisor, both fall into the category of Gami. This it seems to be in the sugya, and it seems to be almost undisputed by the poskim. And we have to understand what is it exactly here in terms of Gami that we are talking about. If you ask a person outside who doesn't know anything about halacha, and you would ask him, please, tell me, if a person follows the advice of a professional, what possible category of halacha, of any system of lola havdin, would you define it as? I guess many of you would say, not a few, many of you, because you are very learned already, Baruch Hashem, but we're talking about regular people, ordinary people who have no shaykhus to halacha, anything of this sort, who have common sense, that they would say, you know, if I take advice from somebody and I do it, which is the second case of the Gemara, then what we're talking about is probably something which is similar to, I would say, a guarantor. He guarantees me that if I do this and that, it will be fine. So I took his advice. And being I took his advice, I relied on him. I relied on him, so probably he is liable for that. Do we have any kind of similar situation? Yes, certainly. If I took money and put it out upon his advice, that's similar, which we call olev, which we call guarantor. But this is not what we discuss in Shulchan Aruch. In Shulchan Aruch and Gemara, we don't call it an altogether. We call it a mazik. We call it gami. Now you see, as far as gami is concerned, it's a tremendous hiddush. And the second case is more than the first case. Let's first discuss the first case. The first case is to call it Gami. Why? Because a person, we're taking the case of the Gemara Shechita, when a person shechted and it did not perform its job properly. And an analogy situation would be, in modern times, not that I'm saying the Shechita doesn't apply, it's still most of us eat meat, so, but this is not really the issue. The issue is, for example, you take a person, a builder, he should build, and he doesn't do it properly. Or you have somebody who drafted a contract, he drafted a contract, and that contract is not exactly as it should be. He's a lawyer, but he doesn't perform his services in a professional fashion. He's a doctor, and you know, as a surgeon, something of that sort, and he prescribes certain medication, for example, which is really most closer to the second case, but let's say that he is a surgeon. So then all of those situations, we're talking about a person performing a physical act, where this act now is classified by us in the Gemara, it seems to be as Gami. Why is it Gami? Why is it a regular matter? So the answer is, in principle, because we have a cloud, which is a principle, which is mentioned by one of the Rishonim, which many agree to, but it seems to be that in this context, everybody in principle would agree that it applies here. And this goes as follows. As you know very well, and you learned about it already, that any kind of mazik, in any kind of damage caused by the major, so here, we have here this extraordinary principle of Chazal, Odom Mu'ed Lo'ilo, that a person is liable for what he did, even under conditions and circumstances which are almost oinous. Why do I say almost oinous? Although the Rishonim, as you know, who of Mechayiv, even Boinus Gomu, which is a Gnasa Kosa. But let's say, for argument's sake, if we're talking about Mamish and Loinus, we will take the opinion of those Rishonim themselves. The person could say to Ethnic Kindly that he is Potter. Now, here in this particular case, we're not talking about real Loinus. We're talking about something which is very core Loinus, or we should not have expected it that it should be. So we have here a principle of Odom Mu'ed Lo'ilo. No, if it's Odom Mu'ed Lo'ilo, so why shouldn't he be chayiv? Why shouldn't he be chayiv? Why shouldn't he be obligated? So the answer is, because usually an act of a damager, of a mazik, is a criminal act. It's a criminal act. Nobody asked you to do that. If you did it, suffer the consequences. Oinus, not my problem. Your problem. You shouldn't have done it to begin with. What happens already if I invite you to do it? So you do it bishul, you do it permitted by me, you do it with my cooperation, I permitted you to perform this kind of job in my house, I permitted you to do the surgery, I asked you to draft a contract and so on and so forth. So in those situations we're talking bishul. And here we have the principle of the Ramban who says, whenever you have a case of magic bishul, it's a completely different criterion. And that's exactly what we're talking about here. We're talking about a case when I, the professional, performed the act, bishus, and as such, being I did it bishus, so therefore we have to deal, we take it out from the regular realms of a mazik, of the regular mazik, and we are saying, well, in this particular case, we are dealing with something completely different. What are we dealing with? Oh, so let's lessen it. We are going now to say, it's not the regular mazik, it is gami. Well, my dear friends, as you know very well, Gami is even less liable, consequent damages are even less liable than a regular mazik. So the answer is as follows. The answer is, in the first case, we're still dealing with mazik. But what we are saying is as follows, that we are here talking about parameters of how far does the shoes pass you. In other words, if I tell you that you permitted to do so, how far does the shoes go? This is as far as the first case is concerned. So therefore, the first case is not really a case of Gami. And therefore, the Gemara mentions the context of Gami only in the second case. What's the second case? But the second case is, as we know very well, a person comes to a professional and asks him if now, if this Mabea, if this particular currency is valid. In modern times, what he would say, if I'm going to either a currency trader or a person, let's say for argument's sake, a person who is on the market, and I'm asking you about the quality of the performance of a particular stock and so on and so forth, and an analysis of this sort. And I would rely on his expertise. He is known as an expert in this field. So here, the question is, can we say that the reliance on the advice of this person enters now the context of Gami? The Gemara said yes. The Gemara said yes. Now, why is it a major chiddush that we say altogether this has to do with Gami? I will tell you why. You know, there's a famous Machlokes Rishonim, and I'm sure that our good friend, our Rebbe, Rabbi Meinberger, discussed it in length ad nauseam, and this is the concept of Gami, where you cause yourself self-inflicted damages. What do you mean self-inflicted damages? Now, the extreme case is, in the Rishonim, as you know, a case if a person was engaged, and the caliph pulled out, the other side pulled out the last moment. When one of the parties already had prepared everything for the chasen, he spent all the money, and now the other party pulls out and says, I have regrets about the whole shida, and now the bill has to be paid by the person who ordered the chasen. And now the question is the one who pulled out, which consequence it caused, the one the other party to foot the bill, if the one who pulled out is chay vadin in the gami, which is the machlekes rishonim, but you know very well, machlekes haram and the rishonim, and the Rambam paskens that he's potter, and it's quoted in Shulchan in context, and this is a whole to do in the poskim about it. The many poskim say self-inflicted damages, although it might be very, very unkind of the other party, but before what you did is for your own sake. If you did it for your own sake, you did the act of damaging, the mindset that you did on yourself, so consequently, just blame yourself. The other one did not force you to do it, you forced yourself. He didn't force you to listen to him. And even if, let's say, for argument's sake, you thought that this would be enough of a reason that you should rely on that. Nevertheless, as far Mazik is concerned, as far Gami is concerned, it's a major chiddush. Now you could say, maybe it depends on the Machlokes HaRishonim, but you don't find that the Machlokes HaRishonim in any way it should be mentioned in this context. Okay. Having said so, I want to tell you something. We know, why are you laughing? I never say maskot. To give Rabbi Weinberger, it would be beyond me to give any kind of maskot. I mean, no. Otherwise, it would be such self-inflicted damages, you know, on me. Sure. Right. So, having said so, I don't know, but I want to explain to you something. I have a saying, an old saying, which my friends, if they hear from me at the first moment, they're quite astonished. They're not astonished so much because they listen to so much astonishing statements of yours truly that they already got used to it. But otherwise, they will be still astonished. Namely, I'm telling them, you know that as you have relatives in family, you also have relatives in the system of Allah. Who? What is that? So I'm telling them, you know that we have a relative of Gami, which is called Oreb. Oreb. A guarantor. The Mishpoch. And what do you mean, the Mishpoch? They're not only Mishpoch. What I'm saying is, we find similar characteristics in both, so that we understand that Chazal established their principles of halacha according to certain characteristics that we find in this particular halacha. I always say that it's not a coincidence that we do find language of Oreb here in Simi Shin Vov, which is, as you just learned now, Chazid Alokta Samichne. When I'm coming to the advisor and telling you, listen, I want you to know that I rely on your advice, which is, seems to be a language of Oreb, of Garanto, because you know I'm relying on him. This is a language of an Oreb. We find also in Simi Kufchoftes, in Kufchovov, in different places in Hirat Oreb, where Tshuvas HaRosh, remember, when the Tshuvas HaRosh is mentioned in the Simonim of Oreb, but it says clearly it's Aloch of Gami. Another famous Aloch, which the Nesivis interprets, is protected all day long. I'm asking somebody, tell me, he asked me if I should lend him money, or better, he wants me that I should enter some kind, I should invest with him. Is he really, for real? Is he what we halacha calls ishpatuach? Is he a person that you could safely assume that he is doing things correctly and right? Right? It's not very different than if you ask the chayyim. It seems to be, tell me, is this doctor really a professional? Is he really a top doctor? Is this lawyer really a top lawyer? Is this contractor really a top contractor? And I'm saying absolutely no question about it. Ishpatuach. Now here they also hold to do. Do we say that being that I said Ishbotuachu, so therefore I assumed responsibility? What kind of responsibility? Of an Oreb? Says the Mishnah, no, we're not talking about Oreb. We're talking about Gami.
You're talking about Gabi, because if you tell somebody, this is a good surgeon, and I, yeah, don't worry, I'm telling you he's tough, he's a super lawyer, he will cost you double the price, this is for sure. And the other one, the other part is not so sure. But, you know, and the same applies for all kinds of professionals. So therefore, I'm sorry, if there's anybody who takes personal offense, he should blame himself, that's the Rambam. So, I'm sorry. So, having said so, we see that those two are related. What do you mean they are related? When we see, and this is the tremendous thing here, and this is what, intellectually speaking, always impresses me so much. We're talking about Gamil, no question about it. If I take advice of somebody, it's Gamil. But, what Gamil is it? It is a Gamil which we found, Chazal found, that this kind of Gamil has its predecessor, or has a similarity with the Torah told us, there's a parsha of Orvin, only the parsha in the Torah, not the Rabbon. So therefore, and Orvin itself is a tremendous Kiddush. So here, Chazal told us, although it's still conflicted, although even you ask for advice, nobody forced you to do so, nobody taught you to go without it, this person or that person, nobody asked you, chule v'chule, nobody told you to rely on what I told you, ishvotuachu, nevertheless, being that you find such a concept in the Torah that relying on somebody else has a legal status, consequently, as far Gami is concerned, we could incorporate it into the structure of Gami, and we are saying, as a condition, it applies, and this is our. This is our sugirement. If I would say Shin Yishir, which I don't, I would give this introduction, right? Would I or wouldn't I? Mendy said yes. Boy said, I don't have no choice. Right? So, this is what it is. That's what we're talking about. We're talking about Gami. But a Gami, which has certain characteristics, borrowed from the locus of Oz. And consequently, once it is clear that I rely on you, then you are high. Now, you learn the Sugi here. And you have the Machlokes HaRishonim in different ways. You have the Machlokes HaRishonim, yes? Machlokes HaRishonim in different ways. Not clear? That's precisely so. And what you're saying now, I'm going to interpret a word, if I may. And namely, he's saying only if I rely on the person. In fact, if you want to know, after having learned this verse, and you want to know exactly what it is all about, after you learn all the machlokes HaRishonim, the machaber and the rambam and the shach, and into the presentations and the sifkot sifkot and yudalef and sifkot and yudbeis, what it really boils down to is that Chazal gives certain gedorim, gives certain structure here. One way is that halachically speaking, we are saying it's enough legal ground to say that I relied on you to the extent that I could make you legally liable. So, in other words, we are not having here machlokes HaRishonim when we are saying, you know, do I have to feel like it's for me? Don't have to feel like it's for me. Do we say that he has to be a mumch or not a mumch? All of those kinds of situations. All of those is only a question, when do we say that it was enough to tell Chazal, that Chazal should tell us, this is Gami, this is already an act of damage which has in itself the characteristic that being, I rely on you, therefore Chazal is telling you the sort of Gami.
Who has to know? Does the person asking, when I ask you and I rely on you, do you have to know that I'm relying on you? Or is the fact that I thought that I am relying on you make that true?
Well, very good. The following question was asked. Does it mean that the seeking advice person, he relies on that? Or the person who is giving advice? But the answer is both. In other words, there's an interaction between those two. If I have a defense as an advisor to say you should not have relied on me, then consequently, you could claim until tomorrow morning that I was relying on you, like I just explained now. The point here is that it, what you did really is self-inflicted damage. Consequently, I cannot be held liable if I have enough legal defense to say that this wasn't enough to say that I should have been taking responsibility for what you did. And this is what it is, that's what it is here, basically. I take responsibility for what you did, although it was self-inflicted. So, here I just want to add something here. Name. Not clear? What's your problem?
Does the professional have to know that the person is, if the
Did you see Nesivos Yitzchok Nudalev? Did you see the Nesivos Yitzchok Nudalev? Okay. Then let me, I don't like to confuse people with the little things, because they're really confused. What you need to know here from the Shia is the principle, not so much the detail. But the principle is as follows. Certainly, if I have legal defense saying there was no reason, you know, I give you an example, right? People sometimes come to Rabbi Weinberger, sometimes to me too, and ask me, after davening, before the kugel and between the chol, to ask me, okay. You know, if I'm just after Kiddush and I'm hungry and I want to make a dosa, then don't tell me that you could rely on my advice. I'm the greatest professional. So what? Asher Alken, if you come to my office and you are willing to pay money, or even you don't feel willing to pay money, whatever it should be, right? And we have an official session and so on and so forth. Ah, then you could say that. But you cannot say such a thing if you met me, you know, between Milch and Meiris. It doesn't work this way. Simple as that. But, I mean, if I may, please, for an exception, ask for a little bit of common sense. Possible? That would be needed. A little bit of common sense. Now, you see, you learn Gami. And in Gami, as you know very well, there's a major machloikis. Is Gami with a tika hadin, or Gami is a knas? We do accept, bottom line, we do accept in the loch and the maise, like those poskim who hold that Gami is a knas. Now, Lemain of Kimine, as far as we are concerned here, certainly the Nafkimine also, if a person passes away, if his children are liable for whatever he did, or his Nechosim are liable for that. Okay, that's one thing. But I'm going furthermore, what I'm saying is, that the Gedorim of Gami, once you say it's a Knesset Darabonon, as you know very well, are completely different. Now, there's one thing, however, that everybody agrees to, and listen to this, and I think this is really the crux of the issue. All Poskim, it seems to me, if you learn Simon Shin Peichet, and you learn the Shin Peivov, I mean, if you learn Simon Shin Peivov, the Dinim of Gami, and the Sugis of Gami, you will see, or you learned, right? You learned, no? Yeah. Then you know, that there's one universal principle that all the Rishonim agree to. That without it, there cannot be a possibility for Gami. And which is really the distinction, or the very characteristic, the great characteristic difference between Gami and Drama. What is it? Bori Hedeke. If it's safe to assume, or it's safe, that the hazard was caused, then the countering damages were surely happening. Bori Hedeke. And that's exactly what it is here. When we have here Machlekes Rishonim, so the issue is, to what extent do we say it's Bori Hezekiah or not? If you have to say Bori Alach Tosamichne or not. Now it says clearly in the Rishonim, we don't see Alach Tosamichne in a situation, we don't require the verbal saying of Alach Tosamichne if the circumstances make it clear that I rely on you. That I rely on you. Now, you see, it goes, but however it goes further. Why does it go further? I will explain to you what it means. As I said earlier, there needs to be always to be a factor that is clear that I accept the responsibility for what I said. Where do we see it? Not in this simon here. But there is a Chuvah Tashbetz, famous Tashbetz, which is put in Reshim Resh Chof Zayin, but in the Achrayim. So, in others. The Tashbetz says, if you want to know what does it mean, that I'm being paid? You know, we have one of the conditions that we have to be paid. What does it mean to be paid? Paid means that I pay a fee for your services. However, what happens in a case when it's not a classic pay of a fee? A fee means you come into my office and I bill you for the hour. Or I bill you for having directed a contract. Whatever it should be. What happens, however, if I work for you on a contingency basis? A contingency basis means in principle that I turned into a partner with you in this endeavor. In fact, I will spend time and money and so on and so forth, research, whatever it takes, because I believe that this is a product that I want to invest in. How will I be paid? Well, I share the profit. So I'm a shooter fee. In the shooter, when you're talking about the shooter, if one shooter does something, and therefore the other shooter will say, oh, you know, I relied, it's good. Why? Because you are doing it, and therefore I took your advice. You didn't take my advice, what are you talking about? You said, if it's good for my shutter, it's good for me too. But I never took the responsibility because it's not called responsibility for you. I took responsibility for myself. I never did it. Whatever I did here was not with a motivation to assume responsibility for what you are doing. Whatever I did only for the sole motivation to gain profit for myself. And then what the Talmud said, when I work on a contingency basis, then in this case, all the halakhah for do not apply. Why? As you said, the logic is very clear, because there always has to be the factor that I, advisor, take responsibility on what I am saying, and how do I take responsibility, because it's similar like my voice. Because I have no self-interest here. I only have here the sole interest to give you advice, professional advice. When once that factor disappears, we don't have it anymore. And therefore, the possible tools. If you want just contingency basis, forget it. So then we don't have it anymore. So those are more or less the parameters, and halakha l'maaseh from Rabbi Berger. Thank you very much.